From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Fremont.
South of Market.
The Marina.
The E.
Trail Hill. The dirty 94107.
I'm from Israel, living in Santa Clara.
Coming up, a tour of businesses coping with the economy.
The money doesn't really matter, but the fear. You carry the trauma that has affected you. From everything that you've lived through, you remain in fear, and you lose trust.
And some business owners have their own system for dealing with crime.
We like to label people sometimes, like how dangerous they are. If he's a one, take the bat out. If he's a two, get the knife out. Oh, if he's a three, go get the gun.
Then we'll take you on an even wilder ride, the number one bus through Oakland, where you never can tell what someone's got in their bag.
Ride that one. You find out what's in the bag, you know. So
find out next on Cross Currents. During the past half year, a group of our reporters had an assignment. Spend time in Oakland's Fruitvale and San Antonio neighborhoods asking residents, business owners, teachers, students, and workers what's happening in the community.
We've gone through one of the worst economic situations, you know, whether it's the banks foreclosing on people's homes or just people having a hard time finding jobs.
Sometimes the kids just seem agitated and stressed out, and you start talking to them and dig a little deeper, and you know, you find out that folks at home are stressed out. I've had parents asking me for jobs.
We didn't have a specific story in mind. We wanted to find out what stories neighbors wanted to tell. People were often eager to share their experiences.
Yes, it was very early. They took some. It wasn't very much. The money doesn't really matter, but the fear. You carry the trauma that has affected you. From everything that you've lived through, you remain in fear and you lose trust.
And I think a lot of immigrants go through that depression and confusion of, why did I come here? What am I doing and what is my worth?
Our reporters asked about the economic downturn, and many people were feeling its effects. But we also found neighborhoods full of hope and activism. Some of the stories we've already featured focused on schools striving to meet increasing student need and immigrants seeking a path to the American dream.
I love my food vendors. I have people that dehydrate, they do beef jerky. Oaktown Jerk is here with us. I have a new lady that does kale, dehydrated kale. They're called Wonkies. They're here with us. We have a young entrepreneur that does cookies, and that's all she does, just cookies.
The only way that I was able to convince the establishment and my colleagues to enact an ordinance was by creating zones, by creating areas where they will be allowed to operate. And nobody wanted them in their districts, actually. You know, so that's the reason why you see the highest concentration in Fruitvale.
Those stories took us to International Boulevard, a hub of activity in the neighborhood. Here's Oakland poet Claudia Castro Luna reflecting on this major artery.
The boulevard stretches long, long and flat, a taut fraying cord. Today, the sky cobalt, the sun punishing, banishing all shadows at noon. Concrete and burrito wrappers melt in the heat as do plastic calling cards with not enough money left on them for calls to Sensuntepeque, Quetzaltenango, and other towns down south where mothers, daughters, wives, aunts yearn and hunt the dreams of silent someone's walking Oakland streets. Walls, sidewalks, vibrate, shout, string words, chords, audible and visible, a song. A woman pushes baby in stroller with roof to protect from sun starts. A small girl in uniform follows close behind. Popsicle in hand, she licks, lickety-lick, the lime green slithers to her wrists, lickety-lick. Past the Arab merchant, owner of the Mexican Mercado, standing next to crates full with shriveling oranges. Inside, nopales and limes wait under fluorescent blue, and cilantro sings to tomatoes a salsa song. Cold drinks in cooler for girl in high-heeled sparkling boots, shooting stars unexpected in midday glare. Drink in hand, down the street, tight in shorts, past boys from the continuation high school getting high in front porch, sweat tight on face. Somewhere, far away, a mild sun chases a light rain, forms a sweet rainbow, arched and splendid, stretching as far as the eye can see. Here, over this boulevard, the inverted image stretching as far as the eye can see.
That's Oakland poet Claudia Castro Luna with her poem, The Boulevard. And on a nearby boulevard is a place called Foothill Market, the subject of our next story. Many of Oakland's corner stores are run by immigrants from the Middle East, and many of those merchants are originally from Yemen. One reason? People see their countrymen's success, and that has a ripple effect.
Corner stores started by one Yemeni, but then the second one came, and so that Yemeni is doing good. So it's like, well, I will have one like him, and the third and the fourth and so on.
Ahmed Akolidi is the California chapter president of the American Association of Yemeni Scientists and Professionals.
So that's what's going on exactly now.
One of those stores is Foothill Market on 19th and Foothill. The Hassan family runs it. Ali Hassan is a first-generation Yemeni-American. He's been working in his uncle's store for a few years now. As Tamisa Rutledge reports, his mission is to make Foothill Market a community hub for the neighborhood.
Look.
Sir.
What?
Talk to Mike.
What, Mike?
So you come in here to get candy?
Licorice.
Farad Hassan, or Ali, as everyone in the neighborhood calls him, greets a six-year-old boy who is a Foothill Market regular. The boy, named Sir King, usually buys candy and especially likes Reese's Pieces.
You take three.
Oh, two.
Sure you only want two?
He ends up taking a third Reese's Pieces pack.
Bye.
Bye.
This exchange is just one of many that happen every day at Foothill Market. It's been a fixture in this community for 10 years now, and it's not just a convenience store. The market is a part of the neighborhood, and pretty much everyone knows Hassan and his uncle Pancho, who owns the store.
Hey, 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 that's Pancho, big daddy. We are from Foothill 19 and Foothill. Oh, let me talk, babe.
Ali Hassan is a tall, slim 21-year-old who usually wears a big smile on his face. He grew up in Oakland, attended Oakland High, and is now studying at Merritt College. He plays sports in the neighborhood park.
Play basketball at the center with most of these people around here.
Playing basketball in the neighborhood helps Hassan know the people who come into the store. That can be useful for Hassan, especially when dealing with children that may have sticky fingers.
Like yesterday, I caught a girl filling up her backpack, $15 worth of stuff.
But Hassan didn't call the police about the incident.
You know, I called her mom, and you know, her mom, she comes around here all the time. So, and her mom talked some sense into her. She, quote unquote, talked some sense into her.
In that case, he let his customers work it out. But people do try to test him.
You know, you gotta develop your own status because, you know, they'll try to steal in front of you. And, you know, I mean, I don't make it into a big deal. I mean, just ask if you're short of change or anything. But, you know, if you're just gonna do it right in front of my face, I kind of find that to be very disrespectful. So I'll just, it's not like I'm gonna kick them out or anything like that, though. I mean, just ask. Because some of us are hungry, though, I mean, especially with this tough economy.
When situations become dangerous, Hassan says he has a system for dealing with it.
We like to label people sometimes, like, as how dangerous they are. If he's a one, take the bat out. If he's a two, get the knife out. Oh, if he's a three, go get the gun.
And things can be dangerous in the convenience store business. Hassan says his uncle got robbed in 2005. But that's never happened to Hassan. He says he knows too many of his customers for that kind of stuff to happen. Still, there are few people in the neighborhood that don't like him. He says he's been called a lot of names.
Towelhead, sand, camel jock.
He says some people take out their anger on him.
So-called, we come here and just take over communities by building stores and like and blaming Middle Easterns for so-called problems that, like, social problems that occur in the ghetto.
Like, what did they say? Like, what were some of the things?
You know, all Arabs, they always come here and just, you know, take the jobs and take corner stores and rip off the communities.
Now, Hassan has established himself with most of the community.
Now, though, I mean, I don't know, I just guess I proved myself. Just gotta be friendly, I guess.
That friendliness means sometimes extending credit to trusted customers.
This one lady often, like, she'll come, hey, can I get some diapers, you know, until the first of the month I'll get you, or baby milks. You know, we let them get baby milks on it, too.
He also helps a woman he calls moms.
It's this lady that lives up the street. She's a retired post office worker.
Mm-hmm.
We have her right here. We put her under moms. And she comes in and gets like $700 a month worth of stuff, though. She comes in and always pays them off.
Moms can get the essentials. Some fruits and vegetables, bread, canned foods, even beer and wine. But no hard liquor. In fact, Foothill Market doesn't even carry any.
If you bring hard alcohol in here, it'll just bring in more headache. I mean, we're already dealing with a lot sometimes. We don't want to bring that kind of crowd in here, you know?
Foothill sells everything from tomatoes and bananas to chips and soda to firewood and bus passes. As an added bonus for the strong relationship he's built with the community over the years, Hassan sometimes gets help from his customers when things get out of control in the store.
We got into it with him on Friday. That guy helped me kick him out, though. But I guess he got into it with somebody outside, and he just doing too much, throwing stuff around. So we got into an argument, and we kicked him out. And then the kids right here were afraid to leave, so I had to call the cops and just tell them he had to leave.
Yeah. Hassan doesn't allow the harsh realities of the neighborhood that he loves affect his upbeat mood. During the conversation and chaos, Hassan remains calm and often cracks a smile as he continues to help customers flowing in and out of the store.
I like helping people, so, you know, I think it's really important, though, you know, looking out. I mean, because if you're going to come here and just make your money, I think you should really give back. At San Antonio, every Saturday, they have the whole Oakland Unified School District, the middle schools, they have soccer games there every Saturdays. My uncle, you know, every Saturday he'll go there, he'll give them a 24-pack of waters. You know, just for the kids.
That's one of the many ways Foothill Market tries to be an integral part of the neighborhood. For Cross Currents, I'm Tamisa Rutledge.
Tamisa Rutledge is a student reporter at Mills College, where this series was produced.
During this series was interesting, to say the least. I really enjoyed meeting the people in Fruitvale and interacting with them and also seeing the care that everyone had for each other, especially at the store. Seeing Ali and Poncho, like, interact with the kids and really knowing the families in the neighborhood and knowing how to handle certain situations. And just that overall friendliness and the giving, especially with this downturn, to see people, like, not have things, not have, like a few dollars to buy something, and then letting that go and being like, oh, okay, well, next time.
Tamisa says she was surprised at how cool the merchants stayed in a crisis.
The interactions around hostile environments, like how to deal when things are chaotic, when people are grieving from the violence within Oakland, or just, like, for me, seeing how to handle those things, and seeing Hassan and Poncho still smile when things get crazy in the store, and handling it, not like being very nonchalant about what's happening instead of getting tense and escalating the situation. That was really surprising to me, and how they could handle it.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. During our reporting project, students kept a blog with conversations with residents and business owners in the neighborhood. You can hear and read those stories and see photos by going to klw.org and clicking on Economic Edge. During that process of talking with people all around Fruitvale and San Antonio and Oakland, one theme that came up again and again was crime. In 2011, Oakland experienced a spike in violent crime after 4 years of declining crime rates. Since the beginning of this year, crime has risen by about 14%. In Fruitvale, merchants are struggling to combat the violence. One business is taking part in that effort. Cooper's Chapel Funeral Home has been in the neighborhood for almost a century, and now a new manager is set on making the historic mortuary a vital part of the community. Shani Aviram reports.
The big wood and metal door is locked at Cooper's Chapel. It always is these days. An armed guard is patrolling the front of the building, and like other businesses in the area, Cooper's keeps a closed-door policy as a safety measure.
Come on in, Shani. Come on in.
But manager Eduardo De Loa is welcoming as he greets me. He's in a clean-cut suit but wears a sweater over his collared shirt. It makes him appear more approachable. You can tell that he's good with people. He has to be. He's the manager of a funeral home.
Oh, thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't say once again for your wife.
It's his job to comfort people in their greatest grief, so he wants the place to be warm and welcoming. The chapel is modestly decorated with only a few fixtures on the otherwise bare walls. It's as inviting as a funeral home can be, but De Loa is proud of even the smallest improvements.
New furniture, new carpeting, and just well-lit places. That way when the people come here, they don't feel like a sense of ominence of, oh, this looks macabre.
It's hard to avoid the macabre at a funeral home, but De Loa tries.
When you deal with the death, sometimes it burdens on you, sadness, fatigue. But I think I see myself as a happy-go-lucky funeral director, you know?
And it's true. De Loa is always smiling as he shows me around the mortuary. Cooper's, he says, isn't your average funeral home.
We are the representatives of the Roman Catholic Church, which should allow us to do that even more fervently, you know? With more enthusiasm and fervor.
Cooper's used to be a small mom-and-pop business for almost a century. In 2009, the Catholic Church bought the mortuary and brought De Loa in. When he first arrived in the neighborhood 2 years ago, he noticed that the Fruitvale District was experiencing improvements.
Streets were being repaved, sidewalks were being refurbished, lighting. It wasn't a complete refurbishing, but some sort of revitalizing was going on. I went with it. I say, if that's happening, I want to do some sort of revitalizing too.
But it hasn't been easy.
Three more people lost their lives on the streets of Oakland this weekend. KTVU's Patty Lee is in Oakland with what police are saying about the seemingly endless violence.
In 2011, the murder rate in Oakland rose 14% after four straight years of decline. De Loa admits that on his very first day on the job, he wasn't quite prepared for life in Oakland.
I knew it was going to be a rough reality when I got involved in a hit and run. Somebody crashed into me, and they just sped off. I said, oh my God, welcome to Oakland, I said, you know.
And once he got to Cooper's, he says he had to deal with more than just Oakland's reckless drivers.
Jokingly, my staff welcomed me with tasers and bulletproof vests.
But the violence didn't really faze him. De Loa saw it more as a reason to get involved.
And no longer did I have the mentality of, you know, let people come to us, but I say, you know, let's start going out to the community.
De Loa wants to do more than comfort the grieving. He wants to intervene before violence happens. He and his staff are set on making Cooper's a pillar in the community. And unlike other funeral homes, they don't turn people away.
Not turning away is related to the fact that sometimes other funeral homes, because of liabilities, do not want to service these people. If a gang wants to retaliate, what better place than do it when everybody's gathered at a funeral home or a church?
At Cooper's, they exercise what De Loa calls gang protocol. That means they will have undercover cops present during services that might get violent.
So it's a win-win situation for everybody. They're being provided, they're not turned away, and it's in a safe environment. They know that the police is here, and the kids who are here, who are also gang members, know that, and they feel safe too.
Safety and support are De Loa's goals of service in a community that struggles with crime on a daily basis. He attends local events like neighborhood cleanups, charity drives, and crime prevention meetings. It's all part of the Ministry of Service, he says. Local merchants and residents are gathering at the Fruitvale San Antonio Senior Center for their monthly meeting. There's a table with prepared name tags on it, but people don't seem to need them.
Thank you so much.
Agenda?
I didn't get the agenda, okay. But now I do. Thank you so much.
De Loa is constantly greeting people as he walks through the room.
Please.
The Fruitvale National Crime Prevention Meetings allow residents to engage with city officials and Oakland police. Tonight, Police Chief Howard Jordan is here.
The other thing I want to talk about is the community. That's you. How do you help us make Oakland safe?
The room is packed. People are standing up against the walls and in the doorway. They are eager to find out how police and city officials plan to secure the neighborhood, but they also want to share their experiences of crime.
My name is Craig Johnson. Recently retired from the city of Oakland, 24 years. I was a victim of violent crime. Two gangs chasing each other, and I got hit in the city truck. I had to have both my hips replaced. So these are the things that's happening every day. You have hit and runs.
Johnson also says there's a simple measure that residents and merchants can take to make the neighborhood safer.
It's important for neighbors to actually know your neighbors. The only way that you're going to be able to fight the crime within your community is communicate with each other.
And that's exactly why Doloa is here tonight. He doesn't live in the Fruitvale, but he comes all the way from Pinole to meet his neighbors and understand what residents, businesses, and families around here are dealing with.
It's not a Disneyland, that's for sure. It's not just, oh, my dad died of old age. No, my 15-year-old son got killed. Can you help us?
Doloa wants to help beyond just burying the dead. He wants Coopers to be a part of stopping the violence, even as the funeral home is reintroducing itself to the neighborhood.
People just don't know. They think it's still a beat-up old mortuary. So that's part of the revitalizing. That's the first thing I tell them. Hey, Coopers is alive and well.
Doloa might be the only funeral director to describe a mortuary that way. But he believes that Coopers, along with other religious institutions in the neighborhood, can help bring the community closer together in this time of need and hardship. For Cross Currents, I'm Shani Aviram.
Shani Aviram is a reporter at Nils College in Oakland, where this series was produced. She spent a lot of time walking and biking around the neighborhood to find out how people were coping with the economic crisis.
It was just interesting to find out what a lively community you can find in the Fruitvale, and that there are so many people that are pitching in to make life better there.
She says one thing that surprised her was the active business community trying to address complex neighborhood issues.
Issues like theft and robbery and crime in general, and also getting more business to the area and making people outside of the neighborhood aware that it's a good neighborhood. We kept hearing that over and over. People want people outside of the Fruitvale to know that it's a lively neighborhood with good people and good businesses, and they're trying to make it better, not just for themselves, but for everybody and for Oakland.
You can find Shani's photos and blog entries at klw.org. Just click on Economic Edge. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. One way to get to know a new place is to ride public transportation, especially the bus. It's like taking an unguided tour, a tour in which there's often as much to see inside as there is out of the windows.
Approaching 11th and Harrison.
The most popular buses in Oakland are the 1 and the 1R. The 1, which is the local route, makes 105 stops in three different East Bay cities. It's a trip that takes 4 hours from start to finish. More than 22,000 people ride these bus routes every single day. Most don't own cars. This is the only way they get around. The buses travel right through the heart of the Fruitvale and San Antonio neighborhoods along International Boulevard, also known as
East 14th, man. It's the main drag of Oakland. They changed it over to International. I like International too, but it's East 14th.
Whatever you call it, it's a road, and a part of Oakland with an identity all its own. While our reporters were walking around Fruitvale and San Antonio, we sent Julie Kane to ride the bus.
Have fun on the one.
Look, that's just what I'm going to say, too.
Bye.
When I first got to Fruitvale, I asked a woman outside the BART station where to catch the bus. She looked me up and down slowly.
Well, the one over here is on this side, and that goes to East Oakland.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to go over there.
The one bus has a reputation. just like the East Oakland neighborhoods it runs through. You never know what might happen. The day can turn from peaceful to deadly without warning. Crime is high and people are poor. But today, the streets of Fruitvale and San Antonio are vibrant and full of life. Ice cream vendors' bells blend with hip-hop pulsing from passing cars, and Mexican ballads seep out of the doors of dark neighborhood cantinas. The people speak many languages, Vietnamese and Spanish, Chinese and English. People tend to keep to themselves on the streets, but on the bus, everybody comes together.
Anybody behind you?
No, I said.
At the front of the bus, an elderly lady sits with a tight grip on her purple shopping cart. A woman speaking Spanish to her kids wrangles grocery bags and a stroller towards the middle section, where there are more empty seats. Towards the back, young men slouch low, listening to music and looking out the windows.
What? 10 more cents. One more dime. It's right there in front of you on the fare box.
Robert Hawkins is behind the wheel.
It's like a switch turns on in your head because you know that you're getting ready to deal with a bunch of mess, or the potential for a bunch of mess out here. You got a question? Oh, okay. I thought you said excuse me.
Hawkins has been driving the number one bus for 5 years. Drivers with more seniority tend to avoid this route, but he knows it.
No, I actually used to live in the Fruitvale area in the 20s. Basically, I was raised by the street. I recognize things that an ordinary person on the bus is not going to recognize when I'm driving through those neighborhoods. So when I'm driving, I just try to focus on what I'm doing and nothing else. Answer people's questions if they have them. And just try to make it through the day as peacefully as possible.
The woman with the grocery bags is named Rosa Lopez. She takes the one every day.
To my appointments, to school, to my immigration in San Francisco. You know, it takes you where you have to go and it's cheap.
Lopez also grew up in the neighborhood, and she says it doesn't really deserve its reputation.
Everybody's out here, you know, friendly. If you're friendly to them, they're going to be friendly to you.
One of her daughters reaches up and pushes the button for their stop. And Lopez gathers their things and shepherds the little girls out the back door.
Come on, this way.
Out the windows of the bus, the signs are in Vietnamese, Lao, Spanish, and English. We pass by all kinds of mom-and-pop businesses, restaurants, flower shops, Western wear stores, a beauty parlor. A storefront church with a hand-lettered sign butts up against a deli advertising burritos and Vietnamese banh mi sandwiches. I get off the bus for a few minutes at 29th and International. A Vietnamese man named Dun is at the bus stop sitting in the sun. He lives in San Antonio, the neighborhood west of Fruitvale called Little Vietnam, and he's on his way home.
How much longer till it comes, do you know?
Well, now it's, I think, about 10 more minutes.
Do you like it here?
No. The neighborhood is not safety, but the house pricing is cheap. To get all the poor people in the neighborhood.
It's not safe, he says, but the housing is cheap, so it's just poor people living in the neighborhood. Behind him, in the shade of an awning, a woman is crocheting a bright pink baby sweater. Her name's Lori Greenway, and she's not waiting for the bus. She lives on a fixed income and sits here most days, hoping someone will stop to buy something she's made.
And they've gotten used to seeing my smiling face, you know. And so a lot of the ice cream vendors, fruit vendors, even just people that I see on a regular basis, if I'm not where they're used to seeing me for a couple of days, it's like, what happened? Are you okay?
That tension, the worry if someone is okay, is in the air in the neighborhood. It always feels like something might happen.
Berkeley Bart.
In the same way, the One has a reputation for being a wild ride. I get back on, still expecting something crazy to happen. Towards the back of the bus is Addie Ortiz. She rides the One to and from school every day.
I remember this one time, we were riding the bus, and this little girl, she was sitting right by the door, and her mom came with like three other babies, and she was just standing there. And the little girl got off. She got off, and the door opened, and the mom was right there, and I didn't pay attention to her. And like 5 minutes later, we're like, hey, excuse me, and she was just like on the phone, and then she was just like, where's my baby? We're like, we tried to tell you your baby got off like 5 minutes ago right there. And she's like, oh my gosh, like, get off, stop, my baby. That was just crazy to me. I was like laughing, like, oh my god, this lady. But yeah.
I hope it turned out okay.
Yeah, she got it. She just ran back. That was funny, but crazy. It was scary.
In the very back, a couple rows behind Ortiz, Julius Conley is looking out the windows.
You know, I got on here one time, and it was late at night, and this guy got on with, like, a duffel bag and started tripping and trying to make people get up out of their seats and trying to punk them and stuff. And he was just like, do you know what I got in this bag? Do you know? You don't know. Get up. He said, you don't know what I got. Don't know what's in this bag, you know, like this bag right here. And I was just sitting there like, damn. like you don't know, I got a chopper. So that's what it's like. Yeah, you don't know what's in the bag. Ride that one, you find out what's in the bag, you know. So right,
all right, well, take mm-hmm. it easy.
Appreciate you talking
all right.
to me.
Likewise.
All right.
Most everyone on the bus has some kind of story of how, just when they thought they'd seen it all, something new and unbelievable happened. But on the day I rode the One, what I saw was something much more ordinary. Regular people traveling through the neighborhood, getting to work, to school, to the doctor, or just getting out of the house. In that way, the One is kind of like East Oakland itself. A place with a wild reputation that a lot of people call home. On the One in Oakland, I'm Julie Kane for Cross Currents.
You've been listening to a special series focusing on Oakland's Fruitvale and San Antonio neighborhoods. The series was produced by students at Mills College in collaboration with KALW Public Radio.
Like I never seen before.
Thanks to reporters Shani Aviram, Stella Marie Carpio, Missouri Colley, Maddie Fowler, Karen Gordon, Esther Honig, and Tamisa Rutledge. Special thanks to advisors Ingrid Sire Ochi and Roy Chan. Chris Hoff engineered the series. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Martina Castro is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. You can hear all of our stories at kalw.org. That's also how you can subscribe to our podcast. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.
Big pretty legs in Oakland. Well, and I can ride over your feet. You don't watch yourself. You can hit a ooh and on all the way across the bay. Yeah, you can. All of the guys in Frisco don't do nothing all day. But think about the girl in Oakland. That's where they're going to play. And they're going to play. And watch me play. I'm calling the man.
Tune into Cross Currents weekdays at 5. We've got action.
He's hoisted up by his ankles and hung upside down from the building.
Suspense.
I don't know if you heard that, but we actually just heard a smoke detector battery beep.
Romance.
Jerry, who I've been hanging out with, is my lover.
And style.
The key to his outfit is a pair of homemade AstroTurf armbands.
Kind of like so. That's my trademark, is the AstroTurf.
Not enough? We've also got penguins. Politicians.
Don't be economic, girly man.
Medical mysteries.
You would give me a pat on my belly?
Yeah, you know, protect those ovaries.
And of course, music.
Music?
Music.
Music.
Whoa.
Where's the music?
All that in one show. It's Cross Currents, weekdays at 5 on KALW.